Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Well, good morning, saints. Morning, sinners. Glad we're all here today. That's good. Normally, what I say to you when I step before you and have the privilege to preach is I invite you to take your Bible and open it to a certain text, and usually I give that page number to you, and if you're using the Bible in the row in front of us, and that's great, and we're going to open God's Word today, but the version that we're going to look at today is different than what I normally preach out of. I normally preach out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. Many of you have that. That's what's in the row in front of you. I want us to look this morning, though, at the Message and the way that the Message says Psalm 145. So if you don't have a Message version with you, we took that into account. We actually printed the part of Psalm 145 that we're going to focus on this morning. So when you came in today, you had an Arapahoe Road today handed to you, or hopefully you did. If you didn't, get one, would you mind just raise your hand, and one of our ushers or deacons will grab you one. I think everybody's got one. There's one right back here. George, if you can help right back there, maybe just grab a few more. And if you don't have one, back over on this row too. So just keep your hands up, because we're going to refer back to this text throughout our time today, because you don't and I don't really need to know what I have to say or what somebody else has to say. We need to know what God has to say for our lives. Isn't that right? Yeah, me too. I really need that. So as you're kind of finding where it is, it's on the side that in the upper corner it says worship choir. Just right across from it, boxed in, is the text that we're looking at this morning from Psalm 145. And we're just going to look at the first seven verses, and I'll invite you to actually mark verse 4, okay? And I'll tell you where that is when we get to it. So if you don't have a pen, there may be one in front of you. You might want to grab it, or if you're like, man, I don't have a pen there, just kind of crease it or something like that, because we're going to keep coming back to verse 4. And I started talking about this last week, and I know some were here and some weren't here. How many of you were on the road last week, or you weren't here, and so you didn't get context for what we're talking about? Great. We're going to bring you up to speed this morning, okay? But let's read together God's Word, Psalm 145. You follow along as I read it out loud. I believe it's also on the screen if that prints a little small for you there, so we've taken that into account too. It says this in Psalm 145, beginning in verse 1. I lift you high in praise, my God, O my King, and I'll bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to His greatness. Here's verse 4. Make sure you underline this one, okay? Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness, the fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invited you to underline verse 4. I want you to see it again. Look at verse 4. It's on the screen. It's before you there. Generation after generation. Would you say it with me, the whole verse? Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. If you weren't here last week, I shared with you that in biblical numbers, in biblical definitions, in biblical terms, a generation equals 40 years. A generation in the Bible equals 40 years. That's a little different than maybe we think about as Americans living in the West. We may think of a generation as being about half that, about 20 years. And, you know, many times when you hit your 20s or around that time, sometimes people get married and they start having kids. And then sometimes there's about a 20-year gap or so, trending a little bit higher than that today. But you get the idea. You get the picture. About 20 years. That's not so in biblical thinking. In biblical thinking, 40 years represents a generation. So when we're looking here in verse 4, and he's talking about, David the psalmist is talking about generation after generation. He's talking about a 40-year time period, is telling and declaring and talking about, making much of what God's done to a next generation, an upcoming generation. 40 years. I shared with you last week that as the first Sunday in September, and now we're in the second Sunday of September, and all throughout this month of September, something significant happened in the historical journey of Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. It wasn't 40 years ago, it was 45 years ago this September that we're in right now. The very first group of people began to gather together. They began to pray together. They began to open God's Word and study together, and they began to worship God together. And they would do that for 5 years as God continued to write the story of what He wanted for that group of people. That was 45 years ago this September. Now, as we continue moving today as Arapahoe Road toward February 2019, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come back before then and February 2019 gets here, we will celebrate 40 years since Arapahoe Road Baptist Church was officially constituted. It was started 40 years ago by a different name, wasn't it? Some of you were there. Raise your hand if you were there on that day, okay? Right back here, right here, right back here. Okay. 40 years ago, February, it became known as Woodhaven Baptist Church. And then a few years later, as God continued to lead that group of people, and this piece of ground that we're actually on today was gifted to this church by a man named Fred Roach, who was the president of Centennial Homes. And when a group of people from Woodhaven Baptist Church went and met with Mr. Roach and said, "We want you to sell us this land," and Mr. Roach said, "I won't do it." He said, "But I'll give it to you, because a community's better when a church is present." And from that point forward, within that 40 years, the people of Arapahoe Road Baptist Church have been meeting on this campus, 2256 Arapahoe Road. And over time, people came and people went. People were led to the Lord, baptized. Children came to know Christ. Moms and dads came to know Christ. Families have been strengthened. Mission trips have been sent. Great ministries have happened. As we mentioned last week, today actually begins the 26th year of Awana. That begins tonight at 4 o'clock. And we talked about, man, that seemed like a long time, doesn't it, Bill Sword? Say yes. Yes, sir. And still 14 more years until the biblical generation, right? You're almost there. Keep going. 14 more years, Bill. You can do it. Lots of things God's led this church to do over the last 40 years. And whether you were here on day one or you're here for the first time, as some folks that I met this morning on day one, you're within the first generation of this church because we're still within the first 40 years. Everybody got it? Say yes. And come February, we step into what? The next generation. The beginning of the next 40 years. And Lord willing, we'll all be there. Amen. Some may not. Some may move. Some may have other circumstances. But what we have the opportunity to do is to prepare on the final days of this first generation for the next generation. Generation after generation stands in awe of your works. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Raise your hand if you like a good story. Everybody likes a good story, especially stories that you actually have been a part of, yeah? Those are some of the really good ones, especially when someone's telling it and you're like, oh, I remember this and I can't wait till he gets to this part or till she says this. And some of you will have those same stories that have been shared every year around your Thanksgiving table or around your Christmas tree or wherever you might find yourself with others who know that story or who need to know that story. Since I've returned with my family from our clergy renewal leave, there have been so many stories that I've been trying to share, and we've had the opportunity to share. I want to share one story with you this morning. It happened when we were in New York. Allison and I have had the opportunity to go to New York several times, but Jack and Lucy never had. A church I was serving at before I came here, we actually were a part of a team that helped plant a church up on the Upper East Side of New York. And so I had the opportunity to go up there several times and kind of get to know the city and be a part of walking alongside that leadership team, and that church is still thriving. And Allison and I were able to go up a couple of times together and be there with their leadership team and kind of get to know some different parts of the city. And actually, what ended up happening is one of the couples that I had the privilege of marrying many years ago that were in my youth group, they dated in youth group, they went to college, they then got married, and I got to officiate that wedding. They moved to Maui because they were just starting out, and they had no debt, and they could do whatever they wanted to do, and they went there, and through a crazy set of circumstances, they actually met Joe Torre and his wife. Does that name ring a bell to anybody in here, Joe Torre? Yeah. If you're a baseball fan and you've ever heard of the New York Yankees and some of the World Series that they've won, he was the manager on several of those teams. Well, at the time, he was still managing the New York Yankees, and they were in Maui in the off season where they normally would go, and their young child was with them, and Katie, who was one of our dear friends, and Christian, her husband, who I had the privilege of discipling, they both went to Berkner High School. Well, they're out there, and all of a sudden, they're building a relationship with the Tories. And they're investing in their daughter. They were working out at this country club, this golf course. And the next thing you know, over the course of time that they were together, they build this incredible relationship, said, hey, we're heading back to New York. If you don't know what you're doing next, come on to New York. And so they did. And they got connected with this church plant that we helped plant up there. And over time, Christian became an elder in that church, and he and Katie were investing in that place. They've since moved on from there, but that legacy remains. And when our family was in New York, I texted Christian and said, hey man, we're back in New York. What are some of those places on a budget that you and Katie enjoyed going? And so he sends me this laundry list of things. And I said, we want to be sure and go to a deli while we're there. He said, oh, If you're going to go to a deli, there's one on every corner, but there's one in particular you definitely need to go to. I'm like, bring it on. And so we went to this deli. Cat's Famous Delicatessen, known as the best since 1888. Leave that up there for a second. So we find Cat's Deli. We didn't really realize it until we walked in, but then we're like, oh, I've seen this before. I've seen it in movies. If you've ever seen When Harry Met Sally, and Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are having this interesting conversation inside the depth. Some, you've seen that movie, you bunches. I knew there were saints and sinners in here. And she's telling this story. And the lady sitting next to him at the other table says, I'll have what you've seen it. I'll have what she's having. So we walk in, and this is what the deli looks like on the inside. You can move that next picture there. So this is the deli. I don't know if you can see it very clearly or not, but see that big round vent kind of in the middle of where the lights are there? Just to the next one down and to the left, there's a sign that says, I'll have what she's having. And so this deli is just crammed with every kind of culture, every kind of person all over the world. And our table ends up being in the far back left. And if you walk all the way down that deli and kind of hang a right a little bit, there's this other area that's back there. Now, when we were seated, and we're just kind of looking around like, man, okay, we're in Cat's Deli, and I'll have what she's having, and this is great, and he's going to come over and take our order. And this was the table that we were sitting at right here. And so you can see half of me, but you can see all of them, which is always a good thing because my arm was the longest, and so I'm taking the selfie there, and I don't have a selfie stick because I don't have a selfie stick and I don't want a selfie stick. So don't give me any selfie sticks. I'm going to get selfie sticks now, aren't I? Great. Awesome. So anyway, this is our table. And our waiter comes up, and he's, you know, got this real thick New York accent because we're the ones who are on his turf now. And of course, he has an accent. No, he doesn't have an accent. We're the ones with the accents because we're in that whole deal. And so, anyway, we're there and we order, and it's great. And you know, we got, this is corned beef, and we got this, and we got that, and you know, all this stuff. Matzo ball soup is coming out, and it's great. And we say, hey, what's going on over there? Because kind of back around to the corner, there's all this activity happening, and we're like, is that normal? And he said, no, they're shooting the pilot of a show back there. There's a Comedy Central show that's being filmed back there. Oh, really? And then about that time, these people come out with these cameras, and they're walking around, and you know, I mean, they're coming in and they're coming out, and they're walking around, they're looking, and they're going up and they're ordering, and then they go back and then they do it again, and they order again, and they go back and then they do it again, and we're like, I think I've seen that guy before. I think I've seen that guy before. I think I've seen that guy before. And this is who was there. It was Jason Sudeikis and Will Forte. Some of you may be going, I have no idea who that is. They've been in a lot of movies, Saturday Night Live, a lot of shows. If you've ever seen or heard of either of these guys, you just raise your hand. Okay, so six of you, that's great. And all of a sudden, we're like, wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, we're sitting here in New York. We're having our sandwich. We're you know, have what she's having. This is great. We're right here. And then they take a little break, and this lady with the clipboard comes over and says, hey, y'all want to be in the next scene? We're like, does a bear sleep in the woods? Yeah, we want to be in the next scene. What's the show about? I don't know. Come on. And so they asked our family and a couple other families just to kind of be there. Okay? And so this was the kind of the scene that's going on back there. So there's Jason Sudeikis, there's Jack and Lucy, and all these lights and all this stuff is going on. And so they asked me, we had to sign these waivers and all this stuff, and you know, yes, you can do it, yes, you can use our images, yes, 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 yes. So I mean, keep an eye on my bank account just to make sure somebody's not drafting out there, and they're not. And so I said, you're one of the taller people who are here? And I'm like going, that, okay.
we need you to stand right here and then these other people to stand over here to kind of block this stuff over here because we don't have permission for that stuff to show on our show and they're like sponsors and this, so we kind of need to block that. And if you can just stand, if you can just kind of stand here, don't move a little bit right here, don't move a little bit right here, don't move about right here. And I mean, there's a camera that is just right there. I mean, so if this show ever comes on Comedy Central, your pastor's going to be there with a baseball cap and a Cooperstown t-shirt on, just kind of going... And so we're there, and we got to step into the story. Now, we didn't have a main starring role, but we were a part of the story. We were useful. I didn't have to learn any lines. I just kind of had to laugh at the right place. And at the end of it, we got to take pictures. Look at this next one here. Jason Sudeikis, Will Forte. I mean, hey. Hey, remember that time? Hey, remember that time when we were all in your show? That's awesome. And at the end, you know, I got to snap one, and there we are. What a story. What a crazy moment. A great story. And why did I tell you that story? Well, one, because it's just funny. And two, because everybody likes a good story. And three, because I believe God is inviting all of us into the next chapter of the story that He's writing here as Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. And it's not just about me. It's not just about Dan. It's not just about Awana and Bill. It's about all of us. And those who are not yet here that are coming in the next generation. God is writing a story that He invites you and He invites me to be a part of. Whether it's got a speaking part or whether it's not got a speaking part, but it's playing an important role. And this morning, where I really want to go with the few minutes that we have left, and then I want Dan and the team to come back and lead us in a time of response. And then we'll be dismissed. But this morning, I want to give a 30,000-foot view, okay, of where it seems like the Lord is leading us as a church, as where our elders and our stewardship committee and our personnel committee and our deacons, as we've shared this story and widened this story and given context to this story, are sitting there going, yes, yes, yes. And as this afternoon at 2 p.m., as you can see just below Psalm 145, you see where it says generations, and then it has a schedule of September dates. One of those dates is this afternoon at 2 p.m. from 2 to 3:30 in our fellowship hall. You're all invited because we'll move from 30,000 foot view to sea level, so we can all see our landscape and we can ask questions and we can dialogue in more detail about how the Lord has been leading us to this place and to this moment that's leading to the end of the first generation and is preparing us as a church for the next generation. We all have a role to play, a part to play. He's inviting us to step in to an incredible story that not only has He been writing, but He is writing, and He desires to continue writing, and He wants you and He wants me to be a part of that, at least for today, as we're headed toward tomorrow. Lord willing, He doesn't come back before then. But until He does, we want to be intentional. And you're going, okay, talk to me. Tell me what you're talking about. Tell me where we're headed. Well, let me tell you a little bit more of the story. Let me back up a little bit. We had an interesting conversation a few years ago with a group called International Leadership of Texas Charter School. Does anybody remember that part of the story? Were you here when that part of the story was beginning to unfold? And we had a meeting in this room about what it would look like to host that charter school for 1 year while they were building their facilities across the street. They're built. They're in there. And we talked about how the Lord may be opening a door for us to engage and build relationships with neighbors in our community that are going to be right across the street. We'd have people on our campus, students and faculty and administrators and parents. And what will that look like? I don't know. It'll probably be mass chaos. But they would meet as a school in this facility. And we had all kinds of conversations. And one of the conversations that we had in this room was this. Mine? No. Share. And we talked about how as little kids, we were taught, mine, no, share. And we walked into a relationship, a one-year partnership with them, and we learned how to share. And we learned that according to Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So ain't nothing mine, it's all His, and He entrusts and allows people to manage what's His. And when we feel like we're owning, He's going, I want you to share for my glory. And it'll be for your benefit. So we walked into it, and it was a messy year, it was a crazy year, but it was a great year. And we still have an ongoing relationship with them. And they moved out, and we're like, oh, well, that was great, but the conversation then began to be, who's coming next? And that wasn't from me. That was coming from the church going, that was fun. Yeah, it got messy, but man, that was fun. And then God brings a charter school our way, a group called Texans Can Academy. And we're like, great. They all came in suits on that day, and Scott Lyles and George Butler in his office, and they look out and goes, oh, it looks like more lawyers coming our way. Because we were dealing with lawyers at that time. And they said, no, we were over at the International Leadership of Texas Charter School, and we're friends with their superintendent over there. And I'm thinking, yeah, because God moves along the rails of what? Relationships. And Eddie Conger, the superintendent who used to be in DISD school district with the new superintendent of Can Academy, a guy named Dr. James Ponce, said, do y'all have any space for us to open up a charter? We've been trying to get into Garland for years and a deal fell through. And they said, well, we don't have any space over there, but that church over there has been a great neighbor to us. They helped us. You might want to go ask them. And the next thing you know, through a series of meetings and conversations and meetings at the city and this, that, and the other, they moved in. And on day one, you know how many kids they had on day one? One. They've got over 300 going right now. And we're on year three. And we're just going, we've got access and opportunity. I didn't know Fred and Nia Lawrence. Until they were coming to work, he was coming to work here every day as one of the counselors over there, one of the advisors over there. He since moved on, and that guy is getting buff because he's working for UPS, and I can't even hug him anymore without the muscles just rippling all over. But Fred will be the first to tell you, as he worked with those Can Academy students, man, we love it around here. It's a great place around here. There's a connection here. There's a relationship here. The teachers love coming here. The parents, there's something different when they walk on this place. They feel welcome. The students feel welcome. Is there mess? Yes, there's mess. Let me just give you a newsflash. Everywhere people are, there's mess that follows. Okay? But man, it's been great. It's been great. But from the early days, their leadership has said this. 30,000 foot view, get ready, take a deep breath. They said, you know, we love being here. We see the city coming this way. This seems to really be a viable place. But in our business model, we don't really like to rent. We like to own. Would you guys ever be interested in a conversation of selling us just the Family Life Center? They can't meet in here, in this building. There's four buildings on our campus. The worship center that we're in, the children's building right behind us, the student ministry building, and then the Family Life Center, where our office is, the gym, the education space. So there are four freestanding. The only one we're talking about right now is the Family Life Center building. And they said, would you ever have an interest? And we're like, I mean, I don't know. Talk is cheap. Doesn't cost you anything to have a conversation. He said, well, you know, maybe it's just something we could think about. So, okay. So really for a couple of years now, because they've been in here, well, on their third year, for a couple of years now, our elders have been going, is that even something we'd want to consider? And we've been praying, and as Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask, seek, knock. That's what we've been doing for the last couple of years as elders and as stewardship and as personnel, as we've looked, where are you at work, God? How can we join you in what you are doing? And God's brought incredible partnerships, not only with the charter school, but certainly with Lionheart Children's Academy. Do you know their capacity is 200 and they're already at 162 kids over there? What was that? Thank you, Tama. We got some more since you and I last talked. 167, that's the most we've ever had since they opened the doors 2.5 years ago. That is worth celebrating. That is awesome. Tama Bankhead's our community director and a member here at this church. And we have a great opportunity to continue ministering to those families. 167, we're on the way to maxing that out. We've got a ton of kids and families coming on here. And they're asking, is there any interest? And we're like, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. God, where are you at work? What are you doing? How can we join you in it? While I was away on my clergy renewal leave, their leadership reached out to George and our leadership and said, just circling back to see if there's any interest in selling that part of the facility. And George said, well, you know, our pastor is away on a sabbatical. He'll be back in August. Could we pick up the conversation then? And said, well, sure, that'd be great. Well, they didn't just sit on their hands and go, well, whenever Dave gets back, we'll have a conversation. No, they've been working. They've been asking. They've been seeking. They've been knocking. And one of the things that they did was they found out the value of that building and the parking spaces just around that side over there. And do you know that the value that came back from an appraisal, and appraisal is just a number on a sheet, what came back was more than what our current debt is. Let me just ask a question. Is anybody in here debt-free totally? I mean, the house, everything is paid off. You got no debt, period, nothing, not even $2 that you owe your neighbor? Wow. Let me ask it like this. How many of you would love in your personal life to be debt-free? With money in the bank? You'd even turn your hands up like this and go, receive. Now, Lucy's debt-free. Hey, I need to get a loan from you. I mean, just you see where the conversation is headed. It's, we have an opportunity, in part because this church has been faithful to sacrificially give over many years to pay our debt down. Just since I've been here, you've paid it down over $1.2 million. And it hadn't always just been a calm day out at the lake, has it? No, there's been some days when the ship felt like it was breaking apart and we're like holding on to the mast of our ship and just going, Lord, what are you doing? We're taking on water. No, I'm going to get you to the beach. You just Stay the course, as Bill Flowers has said over and over again. I'll get you there. Yes, the ship is sitting here rocking, but it's making progress whether you know it or not. God is at work and He is inviting us to hang on as the story is continuing to be written. Now, you know as well as I do, just because something is appraised as something doesn't necessarily mean that that's what a buyer is willing to give for it. But what I also know is this: until you have a written offer, you've got nothing but talk. What I also know is this: we don't have a written offer. We do have an interest, and we've continued to ask, seek, knock, and we've talked with some commercial real estate agents in this area who know our story and who deal with such buildings. And what we have learned is there are others who are interested right now and looking at finding a place to call home in Garland. So I don't know if Khan Academy is our neighbor right there for many, many years, or if God may be preparing someone else to come in here like He did the ILT. I don't know. But what I do know is that we have a window of time and an opportunity to explore being debt-free as a church and being a people who are preparing the next generation to move into a whole new time frame, where you're not thinking about the mortgage, you're thinking about missions and you're thinking about ministry. Where you're not dealing with interest payments, you're talking about investing in the kingdom of God in a different kind of a way. Those are the types of things that our leadership has been praying about and talking about and asking and seeking and knocking and going, Lord, is this what You want us to explore? And as we've shared wider and wider with elders and stewardship and personnel and deacons and others who have crossed my path just since I've been back, going, tell me what this sounds like to you and give me feedback. Give us feedback. We've talked to 35 different family units. Some of you may be going, why didn't you call me? You either weren't in one of those meetings because you're not on one of those leadership teams right now, or if you are, you were out of town when we were meeting, or our paths just haven't crossed yet since I've been back. And that's why we want to have a conversation with the wider church today at 2:00, because you need to hear from some of the others in this room who have been in those conversations. You go, people like who? Like David and Jay Largent, like James and Tama Bankhead, like Kendrick Baker, like John Perry, like Rick Grant, like Bill Flowers, like Philip Burgess, like Randy Wynn, like Tom King, Betty Hyde, Pete and Elva Underwood, Clay Tomplay, John Long, Mike Pope, Scott Lyles, Kelly Brewer, Jim and Joyce Faye, Mike and Beverly Nally, Alice Jones, Julia Sandoval, Craig Chappell, Bill Soar, George Butler, Dan Lyles, and myself. John Long had a great response as we were sharing this, and much more detail like we will share this afternoon. As we were sharing with the deacons, and he was hearing it fresh for the first time, he said, I'm going to need a minute to think about that. To which I thought, I know. Because there's a lot there. There's a lot of emotion that rises, yes? Especially if you've been here for a while. Yeah. I mean, I've only been here 7 years, and there's some incredible things that we've experienced over there, from big dinners and lunches and great Awana times. And I mean, a couple of our friends from the Vietnamese church came back today. Remember when we hosted our Vietnamese friends for a couple of years and they met to worship? I mean, I think about all kinds of things. And then I also think about what our conversation with Khan Academy said. You know, we're not ever going to meet on Sunday. We're not ever going to have school on Sunday.
I mean, if you'll let us use more of your parking, you can keep meeting over here. I mean, you realize that, right? I mean, charge us a dollar, we'll charge you a dollar or something. I don't know. You're like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I mean, we're not ever going to, I mean, we've got at least right now for all these hours, and that's when we need it. If you need it in other hours, I mean, okay, we can look at that. And talking with other commercial realtors to go, can you do that? They're like, well, yeah, I mean, you're the owner. You can do anything you want. You can put any kind of agreements you want to in there. You need some people to help you think through that know what they're doing. But, yeah, I mean, so you're telling me we could sell that part if we wanted to Khan Academy or to another group and still use it in the same way but not have debt and have potentially money in the bank and be able to set ourselves up for the next generation to do missions and ministry and reach our neighbors and evangelism and discipleship and mentoring and grow strong. We could do all that with no debt? Well, yeah. I mean, if the price is right and your appraisal says it is, and you're going, I wonder how much it's worth. Well, our counsel that we have been receiving is, I mean, you can share that if you want to, but if you do, it could put you in a less than favorable negotiating position. So we've said, well, we want to be transparent and share, but we also want to be wise at the same time. So your elders and your stewardship committee do know exactly. And we're just trying to follow wise counsel as we move ahead and whatever that may look like. And so we're just going, we've got an interesting situation and opportunity. And I think about how we've been, anybody been affected by the traffic around here lately? I always come down Hallford and just come up and take a, I can't do that now. So what I've been doing is going through the neighborhood right over here. You know, 15 years ago, Allison and I bought our very first house on Hearthcrest Drive. That's not a stone's throw from where I'm standing right now. This is when we were still on staff at another church. And I drive by it every day. And when I drive by it, I think about our family starting over there. And I think about those significant moments when we brought Jack home from the hospital and when we brought Lucy home from the hospital. Wonderful times. Sad times when we came back from the hospital one day from a miscarriage and we wept. I think about Christmases and sitting at the table having coffee and breakfast. I think about Jack standing and looking out the window in the upstairs across, and Allison relaying to me later when I got home from work that day. He stood up there and he said, look at the big tall mountains, my mom. He was looking at the roofs of the houses. I look at that yard over there and I go, I paid for that yard. That was nothing but a weed field when I got there. And I went. And all this emotion comes when I drive by there. And I can imagine if you've been here more than 15 minutes, you've got some feelings coming up when you think about, wow, what would that look like if our name wasn't on that deed anymore and somebody else's was? And as I've been thinking about that, God reminds me, oh, no, Psalm 24:1, it's all mine. It's not yours to begin with. I've entrusted it to you. And I'm inviting you to consider a share in a way that could be incredible for the next generation. And I kind of step back and go, So all that stuff that God's been saying to me over clergy renewal that I shared with you last week out of Isaiah 30 about waiting on the Lord as the Lord's waiting on me. And He'll step up behind you and go, this is the way. Walk in it. And then 2 weeks ago, we were reflecting from Jeremiah about the plans that He has for us. And I knew them before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. I think about that Isaiah 2:6-8 generation. Yes, Lord, while walking in the ways of your truth, we wait eagerly for you. Wait
eagerly for you. Why? Because your name and your renown are the desires of our soul. Isn't that what you want to pass on to the next generation? Isn't that why this group started meeting 45 years ago, was constituted 40 years ago come February, and what the whole gospel is about? And you and I have the opportunity to step into that story. That's way bigger than any of us could come up with. And it makes me go, wow. We could be debt-free with money in the bank and everything ahead of us. We could. But that's a decision for the church. And we'll talk more about that this afternoon. We'll talk about it at 2 o'clock, what that means for our facilities, what that means for our personnel, what that means in the meantime, what that means for our mission, our ministries. And I want you to be a part of it. And I want you to hear it. And I want you to ask your questions. Because like John Long said last week, I'm going to need a minute to think about that, as do you. Some of us have had more time to think about it. And to a person, it continues to be, yes, this is the way. We need to at least explore it and see what the Lord may be doing, not only now, but for the next generation. I'm going to invite Dan and the worship team to come up, and as they do, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever played the grapevine game? Where you sit in a circle with a bunch of people, and one person leans to the next and goes, and then to the next, and 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 by the time it gets over here, it's like, wait, what? That ain't what I said. One of the reasons I shared all those names with you and got it on the recording so it can go on our internet is for anybody who's not here, they've been able to sit down across the table and hear more of the granular level and have context. Now, are there still questions there? Sure there are. But I want to make sure that there are people that you can talk with. Certainly you can talk to me. You can talk to George. You can talk to our elders. And I hope that you will. But I also hope that you will be inquiring, what's the rest of this narrative? What's the rest of this story? What else do I need to know? And after this moment, it will begin to spread. Let me take you back. Look at those words again from Psalm 145. Look at them with me. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. What story will you be telling? Your beauty and splendor have everyone what? Talking. Your marvelous doings are headline news. The fame of your goodness spreads. Is that what's going to spread? Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. Friends, this is an incredible story we have the opportunity to tell. Don't hide it away in a study somewhere. Put it out so that everybody can hear what God has been up to. Just make sure they're hearing the right story. And you go, I'm going to need a minute. I hope you'll come back this afternoon at 2 to hear more of the story, the how, the why, the when of all that we've been talking about as it pertains to the where.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.